Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne, and thank you so much for tuning in to Hannah's Heart today on American Family Radio. If you're new here, we are a podcast radio show that focuses a lot on infertility and miscarriage. But depending on which episode you're listening to, we talk about adoption, foster care, child loss, singleness, so many things.
They're all kind of interconnected, aren't they?
And somehow we bring it all back together. You know, it's kind of just
it together.
That's right. Kind of just how the Lord sees fit to grow a family, or sometimes it feels like the Lord isn't growing your family. And so how your life might look a little or a lot different than what you pictured it right now. We just want to be there with you as you're walking through life when it feels a lot harder than what you thought it was going to be.
Right. And our show is titled after Hannah in the Bible, right? She prayed and prayed and prayed for a child and was not able to conceive initially, and just said, God, if you give me a child, I'm going to give him to you. And just completely surrendered everything over to the Lord. And we loved her example.
Because she did that.
She did that so she hard.
Well, kind of how it talks about as the show's beginning, you know, like she was weeping and the priest was like, what are you doing? You know, and she just said she wants that baby. And she was finally given that baby. And then she told God, like, if you bless me with a child, I will give him back to you.
Yeah.
And then she did.
And that's the part we're going to talk about today.
That's right.
Our segue. So we've talked about, we talk about infertility and child loss a lot, but nothing really prepares you for that moment where you actually are holding a baby, even if you think you're prepared.
And nothing prepares.
Well, and a lot of you are maybe in that season of, I don't know how a baby's going to come into our family, but I believe that God has a family for us and you're trusting him. So we wanted to start doing, for those of you who are hopeful for babies to come into your life, some episodes to help prepare you for motherhood. For those of you that have gone through your journey and now you're in the thick of it with us and you're still listening.
We've been doing this for three years now, and we have what I call Hannah's Heart babies, I love it when y'all send us emails or messages through Facebook or however that, hey, we just adopted a baby. Hey, we adopted an embryo. Yeah. Hey, we're pregnant, you know? Yeah. It's so encouraging. Mm-hmm. And I mean, those are the best.
They really are.
So keep the news coming when y'all are having babies and stuff like that, because it just encourages us.
Well, the second half of Hannah's story in the Bible, we have that, Anne just mentioned that verse that says, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So there's that part. But then you keep reading in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she actually has to do it. And this blows my mind.
Yeah.
So when you've struggled to conceive and now you finally have a child, to then she weans him and takes him to Eli in the temple and is like, here, this is your child, God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No, because you're like, I just worked hard for this.
Yeah. Of course, God does give her other children later that she continues to have in her home. It's not like she just never saw him again. She regularly
visited
him and saw him. But she literally took her hands off of the child and was like, God, this is your kid.
Yeah.
And so to kind of segue into our theme, Anne and I have been adjusting to becoming moms and dealing with actually surrendering your child to the Lord, specifically their sin nature and their spiritual well-being. Yeah. So you're
like sin nature when you're desiring that baby. At least for me, I pictured that cute little swaddled up baby and all the snuggle time that we would get. And I did get that. And I love that time.
But then they grow up.
Dum-da-da-da. But then, yeah, they are little sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's scary.
Yeah.
It
is scary. It really sometimes I'm like, what am I teaching y'all?
Well, expectations going into motherhood. Did you have anything? Like, I had people tell me all the time, you're going to be such a great mom.
Oh, yeah.
Because they saw me working with kids.
People still say that to me, and I'm like, you just should be at home.
Well, I believed them, Anne. I believed them, and it did me wrong. So I really thought I will be
a great mom.
I mean, I don't think it was necessarily a source of pride, but I genuinely just thought, because I spend 3 or 4 hours at a time with kids, and they love me.
I was a better babysitter right? than I am mom. At least that's how
they go home when you babysit and when you do ministry, they go home.
I was telling a girl the other day, actually, I babysat her kid. She let me whack her children wherever I wanted to. We went on play dates and all kinds of stuff. I kept them on a schedule. They ate what I wanted them to eat. I mean, I was like,
you're Mary Poppins,
there's
right there.
No other better babysitter than me. And now I have my own kids. I'm like, why don't y'all do the same?
Why does it fall apart? Well, and I just had expectations, too, of like, I knew that it would be exhausting, that I would be tired. And that it wasn't that I completely underestimated the role of a mom, but I didn't realize how quickly they would push my buttons.
Yeah.
And I didn't struggle with anger. Until I became a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I really, like, anger is not a familiar, I have plenty of sins in my bag of things I have to deal with.
No, you're saying that in a good way.
But anger was not one that I regularly struggled with.
Yeah.
And now I do. Yeah. They're triggers. Uh-huh. They're there. And I think because with infertility, we prayed so hard for our daughter, Eliana. Mm-hmm. Her name literally means the Lord has answered. I just really thought, man, this miracle child, there's going to be something extra special about her. You know how like John the Baptist.
And there is something extra
special. Oh, there is. Believe me. But you know, John the Baptist like leapt in the womb and he just sensed the Holy Spirit. And somehow the way I interpreted that was she's just going to be naturally easy.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
She made her presence known that day you had her.
Oh, my word.
Before she was here,
she
actually.
Did. In the womb. Yeah. So
Jane did the same. Yeah.
We were actually praying one day for Eliana, and I was praying the fruits of the Spirit while she was in my belly. And I was praying over them one at a time, laid my hand on my belly. We got to gentleness. And for the very first time, she kicked 3 times so hard that it was unmistakable. It was like boom, boom, boom. So I told Eric later, I was like, Eric, I was praying gentleness over her. And I kept being drawn to the scripture that says, you know, a gentle and quiet spirit is of great worth in God's sight. And it's like a woman's beauty should not come from outward adornment, but a gentle and quiet spirit. So I was just thinking in today's culture, like, okay, we knew that we were having a girl. I want to raise her to have this gentle and quiet spirit. Not that she's a meek and mousy.
Right.
But, like, we live in a culture where women are just so, like, harsh and loud. Right. And there's, like, a feminine spirit that's been lost. And I was like, Lord, this is my call. I wanted to get that verse printed over her crib. It didn't happen. But I wanted to put it over her crib. She didn't sleep in the crib anyway. It's fine. Go sleeping.
If you're real.
So anyways, I was just drawn to the word gentleness and came to Eric. And he was like, I've been drawn to that same word when praying over her. And then there was that moment where she like kicked it 3 times. And so we just were like, well, this is God's calling over her. We are going to be born. She's going to be born and given to us as this gentle, sweet, little spirited child. No. If I could pick 2 things that Eliana struggles with the most, it is gentleness and quietness. Gentle and quiet spirit. We talk 100 times a day about inside, outside voices. And then the gentle part, she is a force of nature to be reckoned with. I mean, she like literally will yank so much hair out of my head, like flying objects will hit you out of nowhere. Like I have gotten hurt so many times from this daughter,
and
it brings this rage up. And I really had to deal
with it. You're like, I'm not raising you like this.
Right. Well, I felt like the Lord lied to me at first. I was like, I was praying gentleness. I had this expectation of this like well-mannered child. The Lord spoke to me. He said, oh, you thought she was going to be born with a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
This is not a personality trait. Gentleness is not a personality trait. It is a fruit of the Spirit that comes from being connected to the vine and being connected to Jesus. And it's only going to develop in her as she grows. Now, true, there are some kids who might seem more gentle.
Sure.
And it's it is a personality thing. It might be their temperament.
Yeah.
But it's not true gentleness. Because in order to have true gentleness, you have to have strength that's under control. Well, the Lord showed me. I gave her the strength. And it's going to be, you know, you and the Holy Spirit
together. The self-control.
Together. Yes. Yep, yep, teaching her to control that. So that's where we are.
Man. Well, that's really
Sorry, that was good, though.
Because, that's perfect.
Answer.
Because I think, I mean, I can feel the same ways, like, about my sweet, precious Jane that we prayed for so long. And, yeah, she is... You've been around her, and she can be very sweet, but then also, I can't tell you how many times a day I'm like, Jane, use your inside voice, hey, Jane, and then I get louder with it. I'm like, oh, dear Jesus, I'm not teaching her anything by me losing temper. I don't know what you would say it, by me not being patient in that way.
Yeah. Not disciplining the way God disciplines us.
Yes, and I mean, honestly, I had, before I dropped them off at school today, I stopped the car in the parking lot, and I went ahead and unbuckled seatbelts and all that stuff, and I gave them hugs, and I said, hey, you know, Mark and Jane, Mama needs to say she's sorry, because I am sorry the way that I lost my temper. They were not eating breakfast. I could have paid them money to eat breakfast this morning, and they just weren't eating it. It was just more fun to play with. Mm. It was a simple bowl of granola and milk, what they asked for. They were so excited about getting cereal. That's what they call cereal. And then all of a sudden it was like I couldn't do anything to make them eat the cereal. Then before we're now needing to get out the door 30 minutes after fixing the cereal, still cereal in bowls. I'm like, we've got to go now. Mark spills it all over him.
Oh, gosh.
Like enough to make him have to get in the bathtub. That is how covered he is.
Devastating.
And I was like, get in the bathtub. You know, so anyway, and he was like, oh, I really am sorry, Mama. Yeah. I really am sorry. I was like, oh, you better be really sorry. Oh, me too.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I did. I lost my temper. I was like, you know, I really did. I told him to get in the bathtub, but not in as nice of a way as I'm saying right now. And so I did. I had to apologize. And I think that is a point, though, that I wanted to make was when we parent, I do feel like, one, I feel like we need to teach them what sin is.
That's
like,
good.
Because we have, like, if they don't know what sin is, then, you know, I do, how do you say that? Like, they still know what right and wrong is. That's our job.
You have to make
it a
heart issue.
Right.
Not just behavior,
thank you.
But go to the heart of the issue. And that's hard.
And, you know, they see me sin. Mm-hmm. They see my flaws. And so they, you know, we have to confront and say, like, okay, this was not the way that you should have done this. This is not the way we talk to each other. X, Y, Z, you know, whatever they shouldn't be doing, we've got to, as parents, what I feel like, explain what that sin is, why God doesn't want that. And then, okay, what can we do better next time and show them that? But then as parents, we always, this is me speaking to myself this morning, to have that humility to say, hey, I did wrong.
Yeah.
Mama did wrong. Daddy did wrong by doing this. Will and I, whenever we get upset at each other, we try to make, I don't know if you say a habit, but a commitment to apologize to each other in front of Mark and Jane and Nora, for them to see, okay, well, Daddy was wrong, but he hugged Mama. He said he was sorry. Okay, Mama was wrong, you know. And I feel like, you know, I could be speaking to someone who might get upset at me saying this, but the generation before us, I don't think that they let themselves do that a lot of times, you know.
They didn't want to show weakness, but it's like sometimes we need to see you be weak.
Yeah, because if Mama and Daddy are weak, then we're not Mama and Daddy, you know. And so I feel like growing up, you could almost put your parents on pedestals because we grew up, we're Southern Baptists, we do this, we do that, you know, we homeschool, all these things. But then you realize and you're like, my parents are sinners too, you know? And so, Yeah, I feel like it's so important to show. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I struggle. I am. You're not alone,
right? Just because you know cross a mark of becoming parents doesn't mm-hmm. mean I sin more mm-hmm. now that I'm a parent. You know, and I prayed for this, and mm-hmm. so yeah, now I have to rely on the Lord and the Word of the Lord more now than what I even mm-hmm. feel like I had to struggling with infertility. And I don't know if I've ever thought about that before because I was so deep in the Word. When I was struggling with infertility, I desired the Lord. I wanted to be in His presence all the time. And as a mama, sometimes begging for 15 minutes to mm-hmm. be in His presence is like, where am I going to get those 15 minutes? When I'm in the shower, you know? Right. But a lot of times when I'm in the shower, I also have someone else with me, you know?
Right.
And so it's those things, though, that I think that also God realizes and or acknowledges that, like, I know that you want to be in my presence mm-hmm. and I'm here. Mm-hmm. And so tell me your weaknesses, because what does it say in Scripture? Yeah. When we're weak, He is strong, and that's when He gets the praise and the glory that He deserves, when we can mm-hmm. realize, hey, God, I am weak today. Mm. Can you be my strength for me?
That's so good. I was reading in a book called Mom Strong just this morning, and it was talking about our weaknesses, and they were saying that the season of having young littles in the house, they're like, don't rush it. I know, like, everybody says, oh, it'll be over in a minute, and not just that way, but don't rush what God's trying to do in you as a mom, because this is a necessary process for us as humans. God's using the tool of motherhood to show us our dependence on Him, because I have never been so poured out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
poured out
every day.
Out all the
everything. I'm like, I feel like I'm a cup, and there is not a single drop of me left at the end of the day. And it's only if the Holy Spirit refuels and fills me up that I can do the next day.
Right.
And I want to go back to one thing you were saying about not just disciplining them, but really correcting them and teaching them.
Yeah.
There's a scripture that says, you know, it's talking about God's word. It says all scripture is breathed out by God and is useful for, and then it has this list. It's like teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When you look into kind of the Greek words that are used there, because it seemed very redundant to me. It was like teaching, 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 and teaching. It's like, why did you use four different words? Each one has a little bit of a different nuance. Mm-hmm. Well, God doesn't just discipline us. He doesn't just slap us on the wrist and spank us and say, no, you did wrong. He also trains us in what the right way is. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you the Greek word off the top of my head, but one of those words is what God's word specifically does to us. Mm-hmm. And I've been convicted.
Is it the Musar?
Girl, Musar? This is, we didn't even talk about
we
this.
We did not talk
it
about
might
this.
Be. It might
but
be.
But it talks about that is to lead one towards wisdom and righteousness, and that is what the Lord does for us with discipline. That's what the Hebrew word is for discipline.
Okay, so that one is, so there's probably a Hebrew and a Greek word. That, He's got us on every language. God's like, I'm going to keep you on track. His method of disciplining. I've learned with Eliana, like, sometimes I'll get mad at her for doing something, and then I'll be like, well, I haven't actually trained her how to do it. Mm, you know, she'll be brushing her teeth, and she gets toothpaste, and I just hit the microphone with my hand. I'm flailing around, demonstrating how my daughter brushes her teeth. And then I'm like, how is it on the ceiling, Eliana? And then I come in, I'm like, oh yeah, I never really went over. How do we brush our teeth? Like, let's break it down.
Because, you know, as a parent, you're like, do you not know it stays in your mouth?
Right. Yeah. One of the best things that Ginger Hubbard is one of the moms that I follow online. She has a podcast that's fantastic with mom resources. She does a lot of practice conversations, and she'll be like, if your kid says this, then here's a way you can respond. And it's always like, I'm like, I did it wrong. Thank you for the grace of the Holy Spirit to have a read.
For sure.
But she talks about practicing and saying, let's try that again. You know, so if they come in and they whine, you say, you know, is your voice reflecting that a joyful heart, or is it complaining and arguing? What do you think? Then they go home, and you say, okay, go back in the room, and we're going to try this again. I want you to ask when dinner's going to be ready again, and let's see if you can do it with a joyful heart this time. And you literally, my daughter loves plays and, like, acting things out. So I literally be like, rewind. Sometimes I'll even make that sound and be like, let's try it again. And that's, like, not just the punishment, but the training aspect.
Well, and that also slows us down too, you know.
So necessary.
For me. Because, yeah, I can just think like, okay, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, you know, my checklist of things. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, if we don't slow down to realize, like, actually they're our most important work.
This, you know, is our ministry.
They're more important than supper getting ready, you know.
Yes. And why am I always in a rush, too?
Very true.
Like, why?
Very true.
Like, most days I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I'm like, we got to get to the park right now. Why don't you have your shoes on? I'm like, why does it even matter? Where are you going so fast, Kendra? Like,
that's very
take a breath.
True. We have a very long drive right now that we live out in the country.
Yeah.
And we go on walks now up and down the driveway. Mm-hmm. And even yesterday, I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. I had garbage. Like, I was taking the garbage down to the garbage can that was very far away from our house. But in my head, I was, like, ready to get that garbage to the garbage can. Mm-hmm. Well, Jane thought it would be a better idea to look at the flowers and the butterflies landing on the flowers. And I was like, come on, Jane, come on. And then finally she said, Mama, but if you look, it's really pretty.
Oh.
And I was like, you're right, Jane. If you look, it's really pretty. Mm. And so, of course, that was one of those times that, like, yeah, just stop. Mm-hmm. Like, what did that take, an extra 45 seconds to sit there with her and look at the butterfly that she thought was really pretty? Mm. And what was she admiring?
Yeah.
God's creation.
Yeah,
that's what she was admiring, you know? And so, man, if we let these little sinners, they'll teach us a lot,
they really know.
It makes me, goodness, sitting here talking about them, it makes you miss them and realize, you know, like, man, they're not so bad after all. They're really, really teach us about God's grace. And Mark will even tell us that.
Oh, really?
He will use that against me. He'll say, but Mama, show me grace.
Aww.
Show me grace. And I was like, I've already shown you grace. But that's how the Lord does with us. He
and
does
the,
show
the things
us
that
grace.
They do to poke our buttons. When we see their sin, I heard somebody say this, that is a beautiful opportunity that the Lord has allowed you to see what's in their heart so that you can correct it and point them to Him. So like with Eliana, I was complaining to one mom about her passion, her incredible passion, everything's a 10, and, you know, and her strong will. And this mama said, wow, that's amazing. She said, my kids struggle with some quiet, hidden sins that I don't always see, but then later something will spark and I see, oh, wow, that's been in your heart developing and it's ugly. And she said, I think you should thank God that He's allowing you to see the sin in your child so that you know how to pray and you know how to guide them. And I was like, well, that's incredibly convicting. Thanks. Thanks.
Never thought about it that way.
And then also some of their strengths and weaknesses, you know, pair together. When we see their weakness, it's usually connected to a strength, you know. And I look at Eliana, this passion and this energy that drains me at the end of the day. I look at, like, we live in a culture where I need her to have the ability to dig her heels in. And I want her to resist the devil. I want her to be tender and compassionate to the Holy Spirit. But to have that, you know, I'm going to go into
stand
the next
firm.
Gear. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to hold my ground. Like, our culture needs that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're, this show has been flying by. But I have a question for you and for me. Going back to those triggers and the things that make us angry about our kids, why? What is it, do you think, that makes us move into anger? Like, can we identify? Is it something in us? Is it that we're exhausted? Is it that we have wrong expectations? Is it pride? I'm asking me as well, because I don't fully know the answer. I think sometimes it's me surrendering my timeline and my expectations of the way I wanted the day to go.
Right.
Some of it, I think, is my pride in wanting people to see me as a mom that has everything together and wanting my children to look like a certain way. Like, I don't want the world to think that my kids are sinners, which is ridiculous, because everyone is born into sin.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, against human nature if I didn't have little sinners in my house. And, you know, I think we have to give other moms grace, like when we see their kids sinning, you know, instead of being like, oh, they need to deal with that tantrum, you know, it's just to be like, hey, this is the way they're born. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Keep on the road.
No, I think mine can be different per day, per hour sometimes, you know, with I don't know if you say grief still in the background of my brain a lot of the times, and, you know, financial stuff or job stuff or, you know, family stuff, I feel like can be at the core of my anger sometimes. And it's not actually Mark that just made me angry. Yeah. It's all that stuff already in my mind. And then the fact that Mark cannot wash his hands without getting water all over the bathroom. I don't know why I expect him to. But yeah, it's not necessarily that just pushed me over the edge. It's all the other things. And that is like, well, now I have a spot to put my anger right here, you know? And so, yeah, how do we as mamas, you know, fight that temptation to pour out all those worries, all those troubles and traumas of other family things, other friend things, you know, whatever, of the big world that we're supposed to be protecting our kids from.
That's good.
And so, yeah, that's something, that's a great question. And I can't believe we're to the end of the show, Kendra. But I do want to say, if you're listening to this and you're struggling with infertility or you just walked through another miscarriage, we're not saying, well, when you get here, it's just really hard. So, you know, enjoy your time, because that's not what we're saying.
Right.
Because we know infertility hurts, miscarriage hurts, that's a loss of a baby. And so we're still here with you, and we're still praying for you. Please reach out and let us know how specifically we can be in prayer for that. If you have those babies at home now, we're praying for you too, and we're right there with you as well. So you guys, please keep in touch. Over social media or our email.
And if you're interested in more episodes about parenting, please let us know. Thanks for listening to Hannah's Heart.